Very catchy title. I kept asking the Lord for the correct title, but this is it. PCW. And you'll know what it means as we go through this. And it will mean something to you. I want to tell you something. This morning, what the word is, what the Lord has stirred up in my heart, is deep. My words are not adequate for what he wants to convey to you into the depth of your understanding. And so I just ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would open our minds to actually understand, not the words, but what you're saying to us this morning. And that it would go down deep into our hearts. And I thank you, Lord, that you can use someone like me. And so I just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, P stands for power. And I want you to look at these verses for a minute with me. It will, like, you'll go like, why is she saying these verses? But it means something. It's going someplace. Trust me. Okay? So it says in Luke 24:49, Jesus says, now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. And you need to stay there in the city until the Holy Spirit comes. And then what does it say he's going to give you? Power. Well, that's a different translation up there. I don't know what that translation is, but it's not the New Living. It says he'll fill you with power from heaven. Okay? Then look at Acts 1:8, and you know this. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So this morning I asked you, what's the purpose of the power? Why is he telling us about power? What? He says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, power is going to come upon you. What do you want with the power? What's it for? What's it going to be used for? What does God want to do with that power? And then in Philippians 3:10, just going to do the first part of that verse, it says this, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection. How much power does it take to resurrect someone from the dead? Does anybody have a measuring gauge that can gauge how much power it takes to resurrect someone from the dead? A lot. A tremendous a lot. And so the thought here is that the power that he wants you to have, it isn't a word. It's actually something that goes inside of you with purpose. You were meant to walk in power. How many of you actually walk in power? Would you say? Would you say you walk in power? Do you walk in the power that actually was given to you? I felt almost ashamed as I've read this and I realized what God wants to do in us and where we actually walk. So this power, it could possibly be power to stay dead to self and alive to God. That's great for that power, right? We do need power for that. It can be the power needed to live like Jesus did, because it says in the word that he's our example, that we should walk as he walked. We should do as he did. Well, that will take some power. So that could be it. It could be that you could have power to do whatever assignment comes your way. Ever felt like God wanted you to do something and you just kind of tremble and shake a little bit and go, I don't think I could do that. I don't have, that's not me. We do that. And yet there's power. You shall receive power. And then God doesn't just let it rest right there. He takes it a step further than that. And if you look at Ephesians 1:19-20, it says this. He says, Paul is talking, and he says, I pray that you will understand. So this morning, he wants you to understand something. He wants you to understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. So there's some kind of power in knowing him, and there's some power released in believing him. Actually believing that God will do what he says he will do. And then it says, it's the same mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. Again, it talks about a measure of power released to those who believe. And it's measured against someone raising from the dead. I do not think that I've experienced that kind of power in my life, the power that it takes to raise somebody from the dead. I've maybe come close? No, I don't know. Have you experienced the power of the resurrection? I've seen miracles. I've seen God do incredible things. And I want to walk in the power that he already gifted us with. Because it says, when the Holy Spirit will come, you shall receive power. If you didn't receive power, you need to back up and say, Father, your word says that you're going to give us power, and I need that power because I'm not doing well on my own. And so that power. Have you experienced, do you understand actually that the main purpose of the Holy Spirit is to move in us in power? That's what he wants to do. Thank you, Father. I love it. Power. Ooh, I'm feeling it. So how do we make the change? How do we shift to walking in the power of the resurrection? How do you do that? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians. One more power verse before we cover the answer to that question. In 1 Corinthians 4:20. This is an incredible verse. And it says this, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. And we do a lot of talk. Don't we? In the kingdom, don't we do a lot of talk? It says it's not just a lot of talk. It's actually living by God's power. Do you feel like you've missed something here? Do you feel like there's something that you have not grabbed hold of, that you have not walked in, that you have not understood? Is that possible? Well, then this morning's for you. It's totally for you. And so in Philippians 3:10, it told us that that power comes from knowing him. Do you know that everything from God comes out of his presence? Do you really know him? Not who he is, not things about him, but do you know him? Because he's the one that is going to release that power to you. But you need to understand something. In knowing him releases that. The enemy understands that, and he does everything possible to keep you from knowing him. He wants you to have a whole bunch of information, a lot of talk, but not really know him. He wants you to know everything. You can know all you want about him, but if you don't really know him, then you're not going to walk in the power, and he does not want you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to explain something to you. So Jesus always points to the Father. All through the scriptures, it says, I only do what the Father shows. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He points to the Father, okay? And the Father sends the Holy Spirit to us. So Jesus points to the Father, and the Father sends the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit actually does the will of the Father on earth. Did you know that? He's the one that does the will of the Father. And the Holy Spirit's job is to give you the power to live how you've been called and purposed by the Father to live. So it's this cycle that you're supposed to be a part of. And that is that the Holy Spirit is way more critical than we have made him out to be. We know he's a part of the Trinity. We know he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. We know we can speak in tongues because of the Holy Spirit. We know that. But I think we've missed the power part. We've missed his assignment of The Holy Spirit doing what the Father has wanting. That's what his job is. He's at work doing the will of the Father on the earth. So how many of you are walking fully in what the Father's heart is for you? Would you say that you're 100% doing what the Father's heart is for you? You see, I truly believe there's always more. There's always more. He's wanting you to do more. He's wanting you to be more. There's always more. In the book of Genesis, there's a picture I want to show you. And it shows you the Holy Spirit at work. And it's actually the Holy Spirit's first shows up in the Bible. It's in the first chapter in the first couple of verses. But actually, the Holy Spirit's in every book of the Bible. He's there working. Look for him and see what he's doing. And so in Genesis, it says, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we all know that verse. And then it says, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. That word actually means to brood over it. And in that verse that you just see up there, there's this expectation. Something's about to happen. Like you see chickens, they brood over eggs. They get the environment just right, and they're sitting on them, and they're getting them just the right temperature. And bing, alive comes a chicken, right? A chick comes out of that from them brooding. And you see this picture of the Holy Spirit of God, and he's brooding over this shapeless, dark nothingness. His Spirit's preparing and working, and he's, I don't know what all he did, but he brooded over it. And what happened? Tell me what happened. There became sky and oceans and rivers and trees and plants and fish and stars and moons, and all of that came to life. Is that not correct? He brooded over that, and then all of a sudden, all of that came into being. That's a whole lot of power. There's what's amazing in his creativity that the Holy Spirit works is that nothing's the same. Have you ever noticed that? The plants look different. The fish look different. The dogs and cats. And I mean, everything's got its own thing. The stars are different. The moons and the planets are different. God is so incredibly creative. So incredibly creative. And just like that chicken broods over eggs and something happens, Holy Spirit didn't quit brooding. I want you to know something. He broods over you. He broods over you. He's over that. All those places inside of you. And he releases the atmosphere that makes you able to do those things that God is desiring for you. You see, the Father so delights in you that he goes, oh, this will be perfect for them. And so the Holy Spirit broods over you, bringing that into happening in your life. And he is always working. You know how I know that the Holy Spirit's always working? Because it says the Father's always working and Jesus is always working. You can't have one left behind. So the Holy Spirit's always at work in your life. He's working. He's actually brooding over you. Picture that, the Spirit of God doing that in your life, in your situation. So I want to remind you of something. When Jesus went to heaven, he said, it's really good that I go to heaven because I'm going to send another helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he was called the helper. How many of you have asked the Holy Spirit for help this week? Awesome. More. Ask for more. Have you asked him if you could walk in the gifts? Have you asked him to share the fruit? I feel like the Holy Spirit isn't a spirit that is so full of so much and we know so little. And the God really, really wants to awaken something in you this morning. See, Jesus died and redeemed you that you might have a creative partnership with the Father through the person of the Holy Ghost. Did you catch the word creative? That's your C. Creative. The import of what the Holy Spirit does in our life comes from spending time in His presence. Actually, His presence changes us. It's why, as a church, we go after worship and after His presence, because in His presence, things happen. Healings come, deliverance comes, freedom comes in His presence. Let's take a long time, just let's waste their time. We actually go after the presence because in His presence, things happen. Actually, presence changes everything it comes in contact with. So we have the Holy Spirit, and He's this creative genius. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And His work is beyond grasping, and He wants to work in you and through you more than you understand. Beyond your abilities, beyond your thoughts, beyond your ways. I want you to think about Jesus, because He's our example, and we're told that to follow in His steps. The Gospels proclaim loudly that He only did what He saw the Father doing. And Jesus showed us what happens when a person is totally reliant on the Holy Spirit. I remind you, even though He was God, He was a man as He was on earth. And He needed the Holy Spirit to move on His behalf the same as you need the Holy Spirit to move on your behalf. It's the same. The Holy Spirit helped Him. How do you think He knew all the answers to the situations that were needed? How did Jesus do that? How did He have words of knowledge? How did He know who to heal and who not to? How did He know where to go and where not to? He followed the leading of the Holy Spirit in His life, and He's our example. And that's actually how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live completely in partnership with the Holy Spirit, letting Him direct us, letting Him show us what to do, when to do, who to go to, what to say. And it isn't about you. It's about Him in you. It's totally about Him in you. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Consider again that power and what it might make you capable of doing. Yeah. You see, you understand your strengths. How many of you know your strengths? I know mine. Do you understand your weaknesses? Yeah, fully. I get all of that. And the Holy Spirit, He came to shift and change those weaknesses and strengths to more, better, increase, incredible. It's really about Him and His ability working through us. As we surrender, as we allow Him, as we ask Him, His abilities make you supernatural. Holy Spirit in you makes you supernatural. Different from the simple you before Him. Way above what you were. So what does that look like? I love the way Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 12:9a. Jesus is actually talking to Paul, and he says this: "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Did you know that God loves your weaknesses because He shines the best in your weaknesses? We like to hide our weaknesses, not do anything that is a problem with our weaknesses. That's what we appreciate. And God says, hey, in your weakness, that's where I shine. And so because you are a daughter of God, He brings to you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings His gifts, His fruit, His calling, His anointing, His ability, His thinking, the river of life, his power. And yet, most of us go, well, we're just the same. I can't do that. I don't have a mind to comprehend that. I'm just not courageous. I'm just not out there person. I can't do those things. And yet you have the Spirit of the living God in you that changes your weaknesses, that gives you the ability, that creates in you the ability to do what you couldn't do before. And I remind you that you were redeemed. That means rescued, saved from the old you with your faults and problems. You're not the same person you were before Christ. God's Spirit breathed a new you into existence, a brand new you. And it's the Holy Spirit in you that makes all the difference. You were actually transformed. You took on new abilities, new revelation, new power, new anointings through the partnership with the Father through the Holy Spirit. How many times do you think, I just can't do that? I don't have the ability. I'm not smart enough. Every time we do that, we are letting the enemy win because it's not truth. It's a lie. The truth is you have the Spirit of God in you that there's nothing beyond your abilities. There really is nothing beyond your abilities when you partner with the Holy Spirit. I love what Paul said, because Paul understood that with the Holy Spirit, there is no lack. You need to understand that with the Holy Spirit, you do not have lack. It says in Paul, he declared this truth over you in Philippians 4:13. We've all heard it. We've had it told to our faces when we didn't want to do something. And it's this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you said that to your children, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Even if you don't want to, you can. The truth is, it's truth. Because the Holy Spirit in you is the one that makes you able to do it. Church, we have to wake up and stop thinking of ourselves as the old man. We have to realize that the Holy Spirit in us gives us abilities. He transforms us. You become a power-packed, supernatural, walking, kingdom-advancing, life-changing person when you actually grab hold of the truth that the Holy Spirit in you changes you. But if you just think he's to speak in tongues, that's the only reason you have him, you're never going to be this, do anything. You have to understand what he actually gifted you with. It's a person full of power, enough to raise the dead inside of you, wanting you to do the things he's called you to do. You can do the impossible, just as Jesus did the impossible as a man in his ministry. You can do the impossible. Do you actually believe that? If Jesus could do it and he was a man and he's our example, then we can do it. We can actually do the impossible. He's able to bring creative solutions to every problem we encounter. You see, you are a walking answer. No matter who you meet, no matter what problems they're facing, the Holy Spirit in you can give you the solution. He can move through you. He can show you. Don't do that. Wait here. Have them do this. He speaks to us. He literally speaks to us and shows us. Do you ever feel like, I shouldn't do this? And then you do it anyway? You probably shouldn't have done it. It was probably the Spirit of God trying to keep you from doing it. He carries answers and solution for the people you meet. Do you really understand the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit available to you daily, all the time? And the Holy Spirit, he not only brings power, he brings creativity. I'm going to get you on this one, and I'm going to get you good, because I've heard half of you say, I'm just not a creative person. I have no creativity in me. I don't like that kind of thing. I'm never going to create art. I'm never going to do this. I'm not going to do that. That's not true. It's what the enemy wants you to believe. It's really what the enemy wants you to believe. You see, his presence in us, there is an overflow of creativity. He created the whole entire universe. I think he's got a little understanding of what it takes to be creative, and he wants to work through you. How do I know that? That he designs with full creativity? How do I know that? All you have to do is look in the mirror. You can see his creative work. Pretty creative. I don't see any of you that look just like me. Right? So out of our heart is a place where the Spirit resides, and out of that is supposed to flow creativity. So the enemy has this trick up his sleeve. This is what he likes to do. He likes to fill the place of creativity with fear, anxiety, worry. You see, if you're full of fear, anxiety, and worry inside here, you aren't probably going to be very creative. You're not even going to hear what the Father wants you to do. You're not going to feel the nudges of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is meant to be a place of creative overflow. You are creative people. You were meant to create. How do I know that? I know that because you were created in the image of God, and he is creative being. He is the God who created everything you see and experience. And he wants to use you in creative ways. And he wants it to go beyond what you've normally seen and experienced. What if you and the Holy Spirit partnering together in the midst of worship, in the midst of his presence, you come up with a medical breakthrough that the world needs? That is absolutely possible. It doesn't work very good if you go, I can't figure anything out, I can't do anything, I can't be anything. If that's your heart, repent. Because God is in you, and God in you makes you a creative genius. And what if there's a book inside of you that will cause the church to flourish? What if there's an art that you're going to paint that will make the whole world come and look at it? What if there's technologies that will change how systems are working? Because God, his Spirit in you, that creative genius in you, wants to flow out and make those things. But we don't even think that he would do that. But in this room today, there are people that God wants to use to bring breakthroughs in every area. If you, wherever you work, you should be saying, give me, Holy Spirit, the creativeness I need to excel what I'm doing into a new level. Show me what it is. Open my eyes. Give me the technology. Give me the know-how to do what you want me to do. That's who God is. And there's this beautiful picture of it. It's found in the Old Testament. And how this creativity can happen when the Holy Spirit fills a human being. It's actually in Exodus 31, and it's the first person in the Old Testament that got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so God came to Moses, and he said, I want you to build a tabernacle. He said, I want you to use these materials. I want you to build it these sizes. I want you to use this. I don't want you to use that. I want you to use these fabrics and these materials. It was a daunting job. Actually, it was an impossible job in the wilderness. And God's telling Moses, this is what I want you to do. But God had it covered already. Meet Bezalel. Okay, meet him. He's the man God chose to be the first filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. It's interesting. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a leader. He was a workman, a craftsman. I love it. And see what God says in Exodus 31. Starting in verse 1, the Lord speaks to Moses and he says, I've called Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah. And look what it says. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. The W is wisdom, because he carries wisdom. The Holy Spirit comes with wisdom, great wisdom. He comes with power, he comes with creativity, and he comes with wisdom. He said, I've filled him with the Spirit of God. In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to do work in gold and silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for settings, in carving wood, and to work in the manner of workmanship. See, God was asking this man to do an impossible job. And he called this workman and he filled him with his Holy Spirit. And it absolutely, in 1 second of time, qualified him for the job. Made him able to do that. Look at all the areas. He could have said, oh, I'm really good with silver, but don't bring wood near me. He could say, I can do fabric, but I'm not building. He didn't. The Holy Spirit came upon him, gave him the ability. And the Holy Spirit wants to come upon you. Actually, he wants to brood over you, stir up that which is dead and lifeless and dark and without form. And he wants to breathe on it. And he wants to bring out creative genius in his wisdom and his know-how. He wants to use you. You can't do the jobs God calls you to do any more than this man could create the temple in the wilderness. But with the helper, with the Holy Spirit and his power, you absolutely can. The possibility of what the Holy Spirit might want to do through you is actually beyond your imagination. You can't think it up. You can try, but you can't even dream big enough to do what God might want to do through you. You have to understand, this is key. The Holy Spirit in you is for the sake of others. It's not just for you to feel good about yourself. It is for the sake of other people. Just like he was in Jesus for the sake of people. What did Jesus do? He went about doing good everywhere he went. And you are called to go about doing good everywhere you go. You're called to advance the kingdom. You're called to do works of righteousness. You're called to defeat the enemy. You're called to stand and do battle against the darkness that wants to invade our county and our state and our nation. Are you doing your job? Are you letting the Holy Spirit move through you to do that? Are you allowing him to, here's my mind, Holy Spirit, go for it. Are you doing that? That power and that creativity is found in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he comes with great wisdom. I want to tell you something. The man that built the tabernacle and the Holy Spirit came upon him, that was under the old covenant. And we live under a new covenant. And the new covenant is superior to the old covenant. If he would do that through the old covenant with a man, a person, a human like you and I, what might he do through us under the new covenant? We are selling God short. We are not allowing him to move in our lives. We are not relying on the power, presence, and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You can't tell me you can't do schoolwork, children, because the Holy Spirit enables you to do that. You can't tell me I can't read the Bible. I fall asleep. No, tell the Holy Spirit to breathe on you so that you stay awake. I don't understand the Bible. Then ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it means. I don't hear God speak. Then say, Holy Spirit, Make my ears work so I can hear you speak. And it's why the Bible declares this powerful verse. It's that you have the mind of Christ. It isn't so that when someone forgets something, you can go, oh, you have the mind of Christ. Flippantly, we say that. But the truth is, we have the mind of Christ. You carry the Holy Spirit. You have the mind of Christ. How are you lacking anything? It isn't, I have the mind of Christ so that I can move and do and think beyond my own abilities. You have more to offer than you understand. And this mind of Christ, there's a catch to it. It's actually to the degree that you believe that you have the mind of Christ. That's how much you will receive. It's in the kingdom. Without faith, it's impossible. You have to believe that God is and that he's working, that he's rewarding those who seek him. You have to believe that when he says you have the mind of Christ, that that changes and shifts things for you. You have to believe and take him at his word when he speaks prophetically over you, that the Holy Spirit is actually brooding over you because he spoke that to you. He's wanting to draw that out, make you able. And we have the mind of Christ to the degree of our ability to grab it. All of this, the power, the creativity, the wisdom, it all comes with you choosing. That's what I want. Holy Spirit, show up in my life. It says in John 16 that the Spirit of truth will come. He'll lead you into all truth. He will lead you into all truth. You want to understand what's really true and not? He will lead you into all truth. And then it finishes the verse with this incredible statement. He'll show you things to come that you don't even know about. That's the Holy Spirit living in you with power, with creativity, with his very presence, with his wisdom, showing you those things which you don't know. Which takes us to Ephesians 3:19, that you might know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You see, it's through the Holy Spirit that you're filled with the fullness of God. It's through him that he makes you understand. What does that look like? What does that mean? How can this person be filled with the fullness of God? How is that possible? If this does not get you excited, you're not alive. Honest. This should excite you to the core of your being. Look, the possibility of who I am and what I can do and what I can be. I carry the Holy Spirit. I carry the power of the Holy Spirit. I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I carry the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I know what you're thinking. Hey, don't do that. Because the Holy Spirit wants to use you, wants to speak through you, wants to move in you. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter 1:3. He said, his divine power has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. You actually have all things you need. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, church. And he brings incredible gifts with him. I'm telling you, the revival that is upon us, it will take every one of us. And if you don't know who you are and you don't know what God can do through you, how can you be used? But he wants you to know this morning that you have the Holy Spirit. And with that, you can do all that is needed. Nothing outside is the possibility. Nothing's outside his possibility. You can move in all the ways God wants you to move. You just got to get out of the old man and into the new man that is breathed on by the Holy Spirit. The old man died with Christ It was buried. You actually have to go dig it up to get him back. Quit digging him up. Leave him buried. And allow the Spirit of the living God, the creator of the universe, to do his work in you. The move of God that's coming is going to be like none other, not one that we've seen before. I don't think we're even considering what that might be, what that might look like. And you have to walk in that power I've been talking about this morning, that power that was promised. You have to walk in his creative expression that was promised. You have to speak his wisdom that was promised. You have to be totally dependent upon, and it's totally dependent upon your surrender and your partnership with the Holy Spirit. So this morning, it's time to reconnect with the purpose of God for your life. Tell him you just want that partnership. Tell him you want it like the workman in the book of Exodus. Tell him, I want you, Holy Spirit, to brood over me. I want you to awaken in me the things that are dead and lifeless without form. I want you to use me. Do you want to be used? Do you really want to be used? Because he wants to use you. And he wanted to use you so much that he made every possible thing that you could walk freely and easily in him. Oh, the love of God over you. Oh, the incredible love of God over you. Oh, the beauty of the Holy Spirit in you. Oh, what he wants to do in and through us. Hi, God, Holy Spirit's been awakening in me things. And I'm like, Father, forgive me for so ignoring the Holy Spirit. I think it's a really great place to start. If you feel like it's a possibility that you've ignored him, tell him, I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, that I've ignored you. Then ask him to breathe a fresh breath of his Spirit upon you. Father, I ask that you look at this group of people sitting here this morning, and I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit with a fresh fire and a fresh anointing and a fresh calling and a fresh breath over them this morning. I ask that you would stir us up in our innermost person that we might live like you want us to live. God, I ask that you would give the people in this room the ability to say no to darkness. No to the calling of the old man. And yes to your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives with all your giftings, with all your power, Lord. We want the power of God to move through us. Here we are. We want the creativeness of your Spirit to move through us. Here we are. We want the wisdom of your Holy Spirit to move through us. Here we are. I just ask, Father, that you would bring innovative, incredible breakthroughs in technology, in the arts, in the medical field, in the finance department, in the conservation department, in every area. Holy Spirit, would you breathe on this group of people? And Father, we will honor you and glorify you for the mighty work in us. We give you praise. We give you praise, God. Such praise. Would you just thank him for the Holy Spirit? Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. I ask, Lord, that the seed of the word would go into the hearts this morning and produce fruit, because your word promises it. So I lean into that truth and I declare it over this group of people in Jesus' name.
Say, come, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh today with your power, your creativity, and your wisdom. Come, Holy Spirit. Do you want to stand with me? Allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you this week, to fill you to overflowing. That's His heart. Everything that God's got for us, that God's done, He's done it all by grace. It doesn't require any work from you. It's not 99% you and 99% God and 1% you. It's 100% God. Always 100% Him. And He's so willing to work. Allow Him. Put your hand in your heart this morning. I just love saying this blessing because I know when I say it, the Holy Spirit's working. He's searching you out to find places to pour out His blessing upon you. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you, and give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. Go in His grace today.